want to begin today by expressing my appreciation to so many of you across all of our campus family that joined us at SACSE this Wednesday, this last Wednesday, for a night of prayer and worship. It was probably one of the most attended prayer services that we have ever had, and it was a very powerful night. At one moment towards the end of the night, we felt spontaneously led to have anybody in the room that needed a healing in their body to step to the nearest aisle, and we were going to pray over them. And you could sense the faith of the church in the room, and you could sense the presence of God that was in the room. And I don't know fully what testimonies are going to emerge from that moment of prayer on Wednesday night, but I did hear from a man in our church whose wife is battling cancer with a less than hopeful medical prognosis. And I don't understand all the medical terminology in the message he sent me, but at the very top of the message, in all caps, he said, "We are praising God and want to show off our God." And the message went on to say that one of the markers that was reading really bad was reading at a number of 29,000 a few weeks ago. And that number is supposed to be 35 or below, but it's reading 29,000. So they went back to the doctor on Friday after the prayer service for a checkup, and the number that had been reading 29,000 had dropped to 340. And they were elated that those numbers had so drastically moved to 340, and we're going to join with them and keep praying that God finishes what He has started in their life. During this 21 days of prayer, we're going to keep meeting Wednesday nights for the next two Wednesdays. And I just challenge you, there's going to be childcare up to age 5. Youth is going on at our Wiley campus, and it's time so that you can drop kids off that don't drive and still get back there and pick them up before, by the time that is over. I just challenge you to be here. There's no telling what God might do in your life. In 2023, our church family was more intentional than ever engaging God's Word. We read through the Bible from cover to cover. We studied the Scripture as a corporate body. We focused on truth. That is God's Word. And we're not going to let our engagement of Scripture go. Many of us have started over again this year, engaging the Scripture in the same way. And with Scripture as our foundation and guide, we're going to spend 2024 leaning into the Spirit. So it was the truth of God's Word last year. It is the Spirit in God's Word this year. And as Jesus said to the woman at the well in John 4, "For God is Spirit, so those who worship Him must worship in Spirit and in truth." It takes a combination of both Spirit and truth. It's often been said, if you focus on the Word only, you dry up. If you focus on the Spirit only, you blow up. If you focus on the Word and the Spirit, you grow up. Spirit and truth. 2024 is going to be that kind of year where we learn how to do what Paul tells us to do in Galatians 5:16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. We want to learn what it means to walk by the Spirit in a practical way in our everyday lives. And you might wonder, why would you focus an entire year on the person and work of the Holy Spirit? A series, I get it, you know, an emphasis, but why would you off and on throughout the whole year keep coming back to the person and work of the Holy Spirit? And there are a lot of answers to that question I don't have time to fully address today, but there are some I think are important. And the first one is this: the Holy Spirit always glorifies and points us to Jesus. Glorifies Jesus and points us to Jesus. So the more we learn to follow the Holy Spirit's leading, the more we're going to experience Jesus and the more like Jesus we will become. Second, no one in Scripture has been more misunderstood, misaligned, forgotten, or ignored than the Holy Spirit. There are all kinds of theological extremes surrounding the person and work of the Spirit, and usually it is the extreme that captures everybody's attention. And throughout the year, we're going to address some of those extremes and wade through the Scripture to get a biblical understanding of the Spirit's work. But I want to spend a remainder of today focusing on another practical reason why we need to be more familiar with the work of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to make it really plain and simple right from the beginning. Most American Christians are bored with their faith. I've been in ministry now going on 34 years. I've pastored two different churches, and I've preached in hundreds of others. And my honest opinion is that one of the greatest tragedies in the church today is that American Christians are bored. We know our sins are forgiven. We know that we're going to spend eternity with God when we cross the boundary between life and death. We're trying our best to live between the guardrails of God's good and pleasing and perfect will, but we still have this gnawing feeling on the inside that something is missing. Some months back, I did a study with the men of our church, and one of the big pieces that we talked about when we discussed Christian manhood is that most men in the church are bored out of their minds. An incorrect understanding of Jesus, an incorrect understanding of the gospel and Christianity has bridled men, has tamed men, and robbed them of the sense of adventure that God wove into their DNA. They're bored. They're bored at work. They're bored at home. They're bored at church. They're bored everywhere because they're missing out on a life of adventure. But I don't believe that's just a masculine problem. I look at the whole church, all of us, and I see the church bored out of its mind, the people of the church. They're faithful, they're loyal, they're good people, but they're bored. And one of the reasons we're all bored is because we've sanitized and softened what it means to follow Jesus. We're missing out on the adventure of what's supposed to be a part of a New Testament Christ follower's life. And the reason that's happening is because we're not truly walking by the Spirit, living in the Spirit, and chasing after the Spirit's leading in our everyday lives. If you take the Holy Spirit out of the equation of my life, it would be incredibly boring. When I add Him into the equation of my life, anything can happen. You never know who you're going to meet. You never know where you're going to go. You never know what you're going to do today or how supernaturally inspired divine interruptions are going to impact your life today. All bets are off because there's constant direction and inspiration and leading and us responding that sets us on the adventure of a lifetime. If you can describe your relationship with God as anything less than adventurous, I would challenge you to seriously consider whether or not you're actually following, chasing, pursuing the Spirit's leading in your life. If you would wake up every day, look in the mirror, pray this prayer, and mean it, the Spirit's work in and around you would change your life. Lord, order and ordain my steps. Lead me into conversations and unplanned encounters with people that glorify you and impact others. Open my ears to hear, open my eyes to see, increase my expectation and awareness of your activity in my life. Spirit of God, lead me, use me. Most churchgoers have settled for something you might call inverted Christianity. Instead of following the Spirit, we're inviting the Spirit to follow us. That's backwards. That's inverted. Instead of serving God's purposes, we want God to serve our purposes. And while that may seem like a small distinction, it makes a really big difference. The results of an inverted relationship with God is not just a self-absorbed spirituality that makes you the master and God the servant. Ultimately, it leaves you feeling empty and purposeless. It's also the difference between spiritual boredom and spiritual adventure. God doesn't follow you. You follow Him. But most people don't serve God. They've created a God that serves them. They have a spiritual bellhop or a Santa Claus or a spiritual puppet that they can now control. It is not the untamed God of the Bible. It's a safe and sanitized God that has been softened to our liking, a God that we have created in our own image. But if you follow the God of the Bible and allow His Spirit to lead you through life, there will be no spiritual boredom in your life. Chase, follow, pursue, seek the Spirit's leading, and your life will be full of spiritual adventure. Most of us don't like uncertainty. We want it all planned out. We want to know the destination before we set out on a journey. We want a detailed itinerary because it gives us some sense of security and some sense of control. And I think that's why most of us don't walk by the Spirit, because doing so requires surrender. It requires some loss of control because we have to follow instead of lead. And this is exactly what Jesus was communicating to Nicodemus when this very religious man comes to Jesus under the cover of night. He was very religious, he was very devoted, but he knew that something was missing in his life, and he secretly approaches Jesus because in that time, as his man of religious status associating with Jesus was not a good thing, he didn't want to be seen with Jesus, but he's hungry, he's not satisfied, and he comes to Jesus in the middle of the night and asks Jesus under the cover of darkness what it really means to be a true Christ follower. And in the course of that conversation, it's a powerful conversation. Now just, Jesus tells Nicodemus this: the wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. In other words, Jesus is trying to tell Nicodemus the Holy Spirit is uncontrolled and unpredictable like the wind and often unexplainable, which means living a life that pursues the Spirit's leadership is by nature going to lead you into uncertainty and unpredictability. As many of you know, by now, if you've been a part of the church any time, I'm an outdoorsman, I'm an adventurist, I seek those kinds of things. I love to test my limits in the backcountry and the bush and wilderness environments, and I've done so across the continent of Africa, the mountains of Montana, Utah, and Colorado, and nearly every province in Canada. And in those adventures, I've seen hundreds of wild animals in their natural habitat, the same animals that people go see in the zoo. But there is something different when you see these wild animals in their natural environment, uncivilized, untamed, and uncaged. Once you witness a leopard take down an impala right in front of your eyes, or you've been chased by a hippo and run for your life, or you see 300 wildebeest stampede, or you watch black bears right in front of you eat berries in a valley, or you see a grizzly guarding a moose carcass right in front of you, once you've seen that in the wild, it will ruin the zoo. It's just not the same thing. It's too predictable. It's too tame. It's too safe. It's not real life. It's a controlled environment. And when I think about those zoo animals and their same species that are in the wild, it makes me wonder if American Christianity has done to Christians what zoos do to animals. We take these incredible beasts and we cage them, from gorillas to elephants to lions and leopards, and we have all of that power and all of that potential, and we put it in some cage behind some plexiglass wall to be stared at. No matter how well-intentioned it may be, our American version of Christianity too often takes people out of their natural habitat and tries to tame them in the name of Christ. We try to remove the risk, we try to remove the danger, we try to remove the struggle, and we end up with a caged Christian that deep down inside is not satisfied because there's more to this. There is a longing in their heart for so much more. And we end up, if we're not careful, we end up getting accustomed to the safety of the cage. But at some point, the monotony and the safety of the religious cage no longer satisfies us, and it leaves us bored. There's this God-given longing on the inside of us for a spiritual adventure. And when our eyes are truly open to the Jesus of the New Testament, we start realizing that Jesus didn't die on a cross to keep us safe and comfortable. He died on a cross to redeem us for his mission in the world. And sometimes the only way to describe that mission is risky and dangerous. Praying for protection is fine. I pray a hedge of protection around my family, my wife, my children every day. Just about every day I pray a hedge of protection around the families of this church. You probably pray that same kind of prayer. But when was the last time you stopped and asked God to make you dangerous for the kingdom? I would like to think at the end of every service, when I stop and pray the benediction to conclude, that I'm not praying that God would send you out of here safe and comfortable, that I am sending you blessed to leave here as someone dangerous for the kingdom of God that moves back into your natural habitat to advance God's agenda in the world and wreak havoc on your spiritual enemy who has infused injustice and evil, and God has sent us in the world to make a difference. The Danish philosopher and theologian Soren Kierkegaard believed that boredom was the root of all evil. And I think Kierkegaard was onto something. Boredom isn't just boring. Boredom is wrong. You can't simultaneously live by faith, be a person of faith, be led by the Spirit, and be bored. Walking by the Spirit and being spiritually bored are two irreconcilable realities. Only one can be true at the same time. You're either bored or you're Spirit-led. You can't be both. Against that backdrop, consider the gospel story of the rich young ruler. On paper, this guy had it all. He was young, he was wealthy, had power and influence. But even with all of that, there was this gnawing dissatisfaction in him that something was still missing. And I'll tell you what you see in this passage. The rich young ruler was bored with his religious faith. And I think it becomes clear in the question that he asked Jesus, two questions. But when you read the second question, you get to the heart of the matter, and you see this guy is very religious, and he's bored. Listen in on the conversation. Matthew 19, verse 16. Someone came to Jesus with this question, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" "Why ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" the man replied. And Jesus replied, "You must not murder, you must not commit adultery, you must not steal, you must not testify falsely, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself." "I've obeyed all these commandments," the young man replied. Listen to this. "What else must I do?" Listen to that question. "I've done it all. I'm very religious. I've kept all the commandments. What else must I do?" The guy's done it all and he's bored. He's extremely religious and devout. He's kept all the commandments, but obviously something is still missing. And I can tell you what he's missing: a life of spiritual adventure that comes by leading of the Spirit in following Jesus. His life was too easy. It was too predictable. It was too comfortable. He followed all the rules, and yet he still felt like he was in a cage. There was a longing on the inside of him for something more than religion, for something more than rule following. Listen, doing our best to not break the commandments that God has prohibited is right and good. But simply living a life where all we're doing is trying hard not to break commandments, that'll never be spiritually satisfying. And yet that's what most people had boiled Christianity down to: a life of striving hard to not break the things that God has prohibited. And far too many of us find ourselves in that striving, dissatisfied place. The rich young ruler is a representative of people that long to come out of a religious cage and live dangerously for the cause of Christ. But too many of us end up settling for spiritual mediocrity instead of striving for spiritual maturity. And Jesus hits this issue on the head in the conversation with this young man. And the way he responds to this young man, he is calling all of us to come out of the cage, and he is telling us how to do it. He speaks to our deep-seated longing for adventure by challenging the young man to give up the very thing that caged him. He was caged by what he found his security and identity in outside of God. For this young man, his security and identity was in his possessions. And that was the very thing that kept him in his cage, that kept him from spiritual adventure, that kept him from following Jesus. So Jesus called it out. Verse 21 of Matthew 19, Jesus told him, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Now, I'll be honest, when I read this, I feel bad for the young man. I mean, why would Jesus demand so much? I mean, he literally asked this guy to give up everything. But what you have to do is see what's going on here. Jesus wasn't asking him to give up wealth and possessions because wealth and possessions were bad. Jesus knew that wealth and possessions were this man's security and identity. They were the very things keeping him from wholehearted surrender and devotion. They were keeping him in the spiritual cage. And when you compare what Jesus was offering the man in return for his obedience, you realize that no matter what it cost the rich young ruler, Jesus was offering him so much more in its place. But this man opted to stay bored in the monotony and the security of the cage. He chose an accessorized life over a life of adventure. He walked away sad. Now, compare his response to the 12 disciples. They left their livelihoods and their jobs to follow Jesus. They traded everything for the adventure of a lifetime. And think about where that decision led them. They heard the parables that we read and teach from. They heard them with their own ears. They were there. They drank water that Jesus had turned into wine. They filleted a miraculous catch of fish. They were there when Jesus turned the temple upside down. They were there when he walked on water. They were there when he ascended into heaven. Can you imagine? In a day when the average person never traveled more than 30 miles beyond their hometown, Jesus sent these men to the four corners of the ancient world. Ordinary fishermen of that era would have lived and died within sight of the Sea of Galilee. And yet these men were sent to the ends of the earth as they knew it. Incredible lives lived, all brought about because they followed the leadership of the Holy Spirit. According to the third century historian Eusebius, Peter sailed to Italy, John ended up in Asia, James, the son of Zebedee, traveled as far as Spain, and even doubting Thomas followed the leading of the Holy Spirit all the way to India. Just like the rich young ruler, every one of us has a choice to make. The same offer is extended to you. We can stay in our cage of comfortability and security and safety and end up with everything, and at the end of our life realize that it really amounted to nothing. Or we can come out of our cage, start living the life that a spirit-led Christ follower is meant to live. Look, this year of pursuing the Holy Spirit is really not about me or you. This journey is really about the author and the perfecter of our faith who wants to write history through our lives. And if we'll let him, it will be anything but boring. Sure, you can choose the safety and predictability of the cage. You can forfeit the adventure and still go to heaven. But that's not the life God destined for you. Because if you choose that safe life, you're not the only one missing out. You're not the only one losing when you lack the courage to chase the leading of the Spirit. The cost of those missed opportunities are staggering. Think about who might not hear about the love of God, or who might remain stuck in poverty, or stuck in ignorance, or stuck in pain if you stay stuck in the cage. If you don't say yes to a life of surrender and obedience to the Spirit's leading, who's going to lead them to freedom? And where is the advancement of God's kingdom going to stall because you played it safe? Jesus' disciples didn't just live an exciting life after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2. According to Acts 17:6, the Bible says they literally turned the world upside down. And that's what God wants to do through us. The journey this year is an invitation to be a part of something that's bigger than you and more important than you. And here's the question. Are you in? Are you open? Is your heart hungry? Are you willing to come out of the cage and follow the Spirit's leading into a life of spiritual adventure? If so, I promise you, your life will be anything but boring. And if you say yes today, I want you to leave here with something. I want to give you something. And every time you see this something that I'm going to give you, I want it to be a reminder that you said yes to the Lord to come out of your comfort zone, out of your security, out of your safety, and follow the Spirit's leading into a life of adventure. When you leave here today, our team is going to hand you these as you walk out the doors at all of our sanctuaries. If you want one, and I'll see if I can find mine here today, I want you to leave here with a feather. not just a feather. It's a goose feather. You say, why a feather? Why a goose feather, Pastor? In one of his books, my friend and best-selling author Mark Battison writes about the Celtic Christians, the British Isles, those people, and their history would be considered the Celtic peoples, and there were some unique things happened among them, and they're called the Celtic Christians, and they had a special name for the Holy Spirit. The Celtic Christians often referred to the Spirit of God in their language as the An God Glas, which literally translated means the wild goose. Now, when you read that, that may sound a little sacrilegious to you at first, but it's probably because when our culture refers to a wild goose chase, we're usually referring to something negative. For one of us to be on a wild goose chase means that we're on a purposeless endeavor where we have been going in circles, spinning our wheels, and accomplishing nothing. That's a wild goose chase to us. But to the Celtic Christian, that was not the case. To them, chasing the leading of the Holy Spirit was like chasing a wild goose because the Spirit of God is not domesticated. He is untamed and he is unpredictable, and following him through and letting him lead us to Jesus and experiencing Jesus in deeper ways will lead us on an untamed life of adventure. So here's my challenge to you. Don't clip his wings like much of American Christianity has and end up settling for something less than what God intended for your life. And notice I keep qualifying American Christianity. Why do I do that? Because most Christians in the rest of the world are forced to live a life of adventure for following Jesus just because saying yes to Jesus could cost them their lives. The church is growing just about everywhere in the world except America and in Europe, because everywhere else in the world, Christianity is untamed, Jesus is untamed, the Spirit is untamed, and these people are living the book of Acts every day. But we have polished him and sanitized him and softened him and stepped into our zoos. We call them churches, and we sit there and compartmentalize our faith, and it never makes its way into our natural habitat where the Spirit of God is empowering us to walk by the Spirit in our everyday life. Don't clip his wings. Do you realize there's music around you right now? All around you. And not just music. There's news and sports talk and talk radio and a host of other programs that are all around you. You're surrounded by them. They're in the frequencies, the AM and FM and XM frequencies. And if you were tuned into them right now, you could hear them right where you're sitting. It would open the world up to you. It's in this room right now, all around us, but we're not hearing it because we're not tuned in to the right frequency. The same is true about the leading of the Spirit every single day of your life. Whether you're ordering your coffee or when you're processing through TSA at the airport, or when you're having lunch meetings for work, or when you're shopping for groceries, or you're on that jog around the neighborhood, or you're at the gym, the Holy Spirit is speaking, he's directing, he's leading, he's inviting you on an adventure. And in those everyday practical moments, if you're listening, he'll whisper things like, stop here, pray with them, buy her lunch, share your testimony with them, invite him to church. It's all around you. It's happening every day. He's constantly moving, constantly leading, constantly speaking, but we never experience it. We'll never hear it if we're not aware and not tuned in. Intentionally chase the leading of the Holy Spirit. If you do, you will become more like Jesus. Your life will look more like his, and I promise you, your spiritual life won't be boring. So I want you to leave with a feather today. And I don't care, stick it in your Bible as a marker, put it in your favorite hat that you wear every day, stick it on the mirror so that you see it every morning. Whatever you have to do, put it in a visible place and let it be a visible reminder of the invitation to live an uncaged life of supernatural unpredictability where you have committed to chase the wild goose. And every time you see that feather, I challenge you, pray a prayer like this. These are my words. I pray this prayer often when I look in the mirror before my day starts. These are my words. Maybe you borrow somebody else's. Maybe you make up your own. But I challenge you, when you see this feather, pray a prayer like this. Lord, order and ordain my steps. Lead me into conversations and unplanned encounters with people that glorify you and impact others. Open my ears to hear, open my eyes to see, increase my expectation and awareness of your activity in my life Spirit of God, lead me. Use me. In the remainder of this fast and throughout 2024, my prayer for all of us is that the Holy Spirit would move so powerfully in us, two things would happen. Number one, you become the you God destined you to be. That's supernatural transformation. Number two, that you are empowered by the Spirit to love people when they least expect it and they least deserve it. That's the number one evidence of the activity of the Spirit of God in your life. 1 Corinthians 13, love. Above all things, above any gift, above any power, is the evidence of God's love in your life. Loving people when they least expect it and they least deserve it. And both of these things will happen if we chase the Spirit's leading in our lives, and both us and the world around us are going to be transformed when these two things become a reality in our lives. I was trying to think about a worship song to conclude the service today, and to be honest, the same one kept coming back to my mind. I'm like, I don't want to do that one. That one's tired. It's worn out. It says what it needs to say, but we need something, you know, this one's kind of been overused. And every time, just nothing seemed to ring the bell. So I came back to this tired old song. As much as I tried not to, but nothing said it better. And so I want to point you. You'll probably recognize it. Here are the lyrics. You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where my feet may fail, or where feet may fail. And where I find you in the mystery, in the oceans deep, my faith will stand. So I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. Here's the bridge. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, where that's supernatural living. Wherever you would call me, take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. I'm going to ask you if you would stand across our campus family here in Sachse and at all of our locations. And we're going to send this back locally. And I want us to sing this song as a response to the preached word today. This is a song that is a prayer. Make it yours today. And I'll come back and formally dismiss us here in Sachse. Our campus pastors will formally dismiss you at your locations. But let's just let this song be our response today. You know it. Sing it.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. So
available to serve this body today. Father, I pray. I'm about to pray the benediction that I pray at the end of every service. But I ask you, Lord, that it not be a formal blessing to go live a safe, comfortable life, the monotony and mundane of mediocre Christianity. But I pray today that every one of us, that missing piece in our hearts, this lack of satisfaction, this boredom is because we're not living in and walking by the Spirit. There is so much more to following Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you would send us out of here with listening ears and open eyes, aware of your agenda in the world, and that you redeemed us to use us on mission. And part of us growing and maturing is being used by you in the process of our own spiritual maturation. So instead of sending us out of here into a safe, comfortable life, I pray that you would empower us as your people to invade an evil world of injustice, empowered by the Spirit with the love and the righteousness of God. Order our steps, Jesus. Open our hearts and our ears. Use us. Lord, would you bless them and keep them? Would you make your face shine down upon them? Would you be gracious to them? Would you turn your countenance their direction today? And Lord, would you give them peace? In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. These altars are open today. If you have need of anything for prayer, let's trust God to be at work in your life.